This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Each year, hundreds of thousands of inmates are released from American prisons, and it's often extremely difficult for these individuals to reintegrate into society, and one of the main obstacles they face is finding gainful employment. Joining us today to explore how and why employers should consider hiring former offenders are attorney Sasha Apatova, is that correct, Sasha? Okay, who manages the Second Chance Legal Clinics at the Ohio Justice and Policy Center. Also, Dan Meyer, who is the CEO of Nehemiah Manufacturing and founder of the Beacon of Hope Alliance. That's an organization that's formed to encourage more companies to offer a second chance to former offenders. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sasha and Dan, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
You're welcome.
Sasha, in the work that you're doing, what are you seeing? How tough is it for these former offenders to find work and move on with their lives?
It can be really difficult for a person with a record to find a job. Right now, most employers are running background checks. Your criminal records are much more available today than they might have been 30 or 50 years ago because of the internet. We're keeping everything electronic. Things are coming up more. And the presence of any record on your background check is going to reduce your chance of even getting a callback from your employer. It's going to reduce your likelihood of getting a higher wage. So it's definitely an obstacle, and part of the role that we play is to help people hide or remove some things from their record or remove some of those negative stigmas of their record.
Dan, it is a frustrating experience, isn't it, for these folks to find work?
Oh, absolutely. We started Nehemiah Manufacturing about 6 years ago with the purpose of hiring those that needed a second chance because the doors were not open. People can find reasons why not to hire somebody that had a felony or might have had a history of drug or alcohol addiction. But we have found it, it's part of our mission, even though we're a profit with a purpose company. The people that really want a second chance, you're going to find the most productive, most loyal people in your organization.
Profit with a purpose. That's a good attitude. That's rather refreshing to hear somebody who say that who's in business.
Yeah, it's we are about making money. We're very passionate about winning in the marketplace. But what makes us a little different than others is we put the people first. We care about the folks. We want to feel part of the family. As I had mentioned earlier, we hire in the manufacturing and warehousing side. And we probably have about 70 people in that area. 80% of them have, some kind of history that precludes them from having employment. And as I said, it's been a tremendous experience for us. That's why we wanted to expand our learning and the great things that come from giving people a second chance for other companies to take advantage of that. There's no reason to have fear or be concerned about it. We have a tremendous ecosystem in this city to get people job ready. And for employers to just open their companies, open their hearts, and give people a second chance that really deserve it because they've spent their time. It's unbelievable, not only for your business, but it's life-changing for them. But it's also life-changing for us to see the difference it can make in people's lives.
Sasha, has Ohio made a lot of progress in this area? I mean, one of the things I heard recently about was that they finally did the ban the box. They got that in place, asking a person if you have ever been convicted of a felony. They can't do that anymore. I guess that's for civil applications?
Yes, that's only for one subset of applications. But that does show that we are moving forward in Ohio. One really big thing that I work with a lot that Ohio recently put into place is the Certificate of Qualification for Employment. And that's a certificate you can get from the state now that removes barriers to working in certain fields, like if you want to work in childcare or in healthcare. If you do food service, but you might be looking for a job in the cafeteria of a hospital or a nursing home, there's so many legal restrictions where somebody can work or what kind of license they can get. So in Ohio, there's probably about 800 barriers in the law on what a person with a record can do, from housing to volunteering to employment. And 600 of them approximately deal with licensing and employment, where they can work. So now we have these new certificates where they can petition the court to remove those barriers, let them access the fields that they are trained to work in or have passions to work in, let them expand where they can apply, and let employers who want to hire these qualified applicants allow them to hire. These certificates also remove negligent hiring liability, protect employers from it, so the employers that hire will have this protection. So that's one way that Ohio is moving forward. More work toward banning the box. So it would be great to see ban the box on all applications,
expanded,
right? Not
yes.
just on state applications, not just if you're working with the government, but to see every employer have to get to know the applicants first, look at their resume, meet them at an interview before they start looking at what criminal records they have, so they can put those records in context of a human being and not define the person by something that happened in their past.
And you say hundreds of barriers in Ohio, and isn't Ohio one of the better states?
Well, Ohio is doing well. I don't want to knock Ohio, but this is an absolute opportunity for improvement. Right. In our state, we have this big challenge. Ohio is a good state, but Ohio is a good state that has a problem. Right. We have 800 barriers in our laws and counting. We're still trying to catalog them all. Our office has something called the Civic Database. It's an online database of all of these collateral consequences. And collateral consequences are the laws that prevent a person from fully integrating into society. So, yes, there are a lot of them, and many of them center on employment, although they really run the gamut of, like I say, civic participation and volunteering and fostering children, just the full realm of what a person might need to be part of the community.
They make it hard to reintegrate, it sounds like.
100%.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with John in Eastside. Hi, John.
I just wanted to, number one, say to your guests how much I admire the work that they're doing, and to say to anybody who's listening how important it is, because people, especially when they're young, may do something dumb or worse, but once you're paid your debt to society the way things work right now, you've never really paid it, because it keeps coming back to haunt you over and over and over again. And I hope that listeners politically and, with their employers, or if they are employers, will listen to what your guests are saying and give people who have paid their debt to society a chance to prove that they've changed.
Thank you, John. We appreciate the call. Sasha, politically speaking, this is a pretty bipartisan thing. I think Republicans and Democrats alike agree. The reasons might always be the same, but they agree that this is an important thing to do, to be able to get the former offenders back into society, get them working and back on track again.
This is something that's an across-the-aisle issue. And if you think about it, there are a lot of different reasons that are compelling, not the least of which is the economic reason. If we have in Ohio right now 800 barriers in the law, right? And we have about 1 in 6 people in Ohio have a misdemeanor or a felony record. So about 1.92 million people have some kind of conviction on their record. Multiply that by 800 barriers that each one faces, 600 of which are in employment, and you're creating a situation where the person's blocked on all sides. Doors are closed. You're not helping public safety. In fact, you're destabilizing a person to where they may actually become more likely to recidivate. That itself is a compelling reason, but there's also the human reason, as Dan was talking about. You have to get to know the human beings. They're very loyal employees. They're very hardworking employees. In fact, they've paid their debt, as the last caller was saying. They've done their sentence. They've paid their fines. Sometimes 20 years might have passed, and
or is the caller said
3 years have passed.
Caller said it was something you did that was stupid when you were younger, and mm-hmm. now you're paying for it.
Eventually, when you come back into the community, you have to be given an opportunity to work. And employers have to be given the opportunity to hire you.
Dan, the name of your company, Nehemiah, that's interesting. Tell me about the origins of that. I think they're very appropriate, actually.
Yeah, they are. Nehemiah is an Old Testament prophet called by God to rebuild Jerusalem. And, you know, I had spent, 15 years in corporate America. My previous company I had that we ended up selling, we would always give back to social services in the city as we were growing. But we wanted to leave a legacy that was bigger than just writing checks and working with community leaders. It was all about providing jobs in the inner city. So we had worked with the city to find a place. We wanted to be in Over the Rhine, but we couldn't find a building that was appropriate. So we're right on the outskirts at Findlay and Dalton in Queensgate. And we started, as I said, 5 years ago with a vision of trying to just help people one at a time. And through the grace of God, we're sitting here where we have 100 employed. As I said, a good number of those in the manufacturing and warehousing side are those that have had a tough past and have been phenomenal employees. They're really family members. And we've seen people go from just starting out, putting a box on a pallet, to one gentleman has been promoted 6 times, and he's a production planner. All of our supervisors, line captains, warehouse managers are all that, nobody else would give a second chance, and within 2-3 years are managing other people. So it's not only rewarding for them, but I'll tell you, it's pretty powerful for what it does to us and our passion for getting other companies involved to see the benefits and their richness and the value of doing this.
So how successful has Nehemiah been? I mean, you're making a good amount of money with this business.
Things
are going well?
It is going well. And we can't do this. I say this, you can't do what we're doing without tremendous amount of support within the community. We even start Nehemiah. We have a good relationship with Procter & Gamble, and they weighed in, and we licensed a brand of theirs that was too small for them to manage, and that kind of got us started. Then we made an acquisition of a brand called Boogie Wipes, and then a few years later, P&G comes to us to manage some other small brands for us. So it provided the infrastructure for us. But we can't do it without Sasha and her team to eliminate barriers. We work with employment, social services, nonprofits like Jobs Plus, which is part of City Gospel Mission, Cincinnati Works, the HELP program. Without them, we couldn't do what we do. They help get people job ready. They provide life coaches, even though over the last 5 years we've been able to bring on a full-time social worker. We don't have an HR department, we have a social worker, because we try to understand when they come in, what are their dreams, what are their challenges, and what can we do in a small part of Nehemiah to help them realize that.
So you've got, you said 100 employees, around 100 employees. How many of them are ex-offenders?
I'd say about 60 of those 100, 60 to 70.
And what do you say to other employers? You say, well, you're taking a big risk by doing this. How do you respond to that?
Will tell you, when we first started, we tried to do a lot of this ourselves, and we were losing people. It wasn't until we got connected with people like Jobs Plus and City Gospel Mission, Cincinnati Works, that really vets those folks by getting them job ready, see if they're committed to change, and then we bring them on, and we work with Sasha and her team to do the things to eliminate those barriers. Because we look at, if we can just get people's feet underneath them, and this is why we're trying to start Beacon of Hope, not only to bring other companies into this fold, but also if some of the folks that we have say, my dream is really to work in construction. If they've worked for us for 2-3 years and we can find an employer that's willing to take them on in construction, well, they're probably making more money, too. They can realize their dream. And that's what we're here for. I mean, if they just get started at Nehemiah, because we have a manufacturing operation that's low tech, so anybody can walk off the street. And like I said, you start by just taking a box at the end of the line and put it on a pallet. And then you move through the process and the promotional side of it. But we just need to get more folks engaged and see the benefit. And I end with saying it's good for business. If you just look at the metrics, and if you're in a business, it's all about the metrics. Our most productive, our most loyal, our turnover is basically nil. That's why you do it. I mean, if that's the only reason you do it, it'd be a good reason to do it. But to see touching people's lives, and if you do it and you get to know the folks, your life will never be the same. It'll never be the same.
Yeah. Sasha, do you have any statistics about how someone released from prison, how effective that is at staying out of prison if they get a steady full-time job? Or have there been studies done of that?
There have been studies. I don't know off the top of my head the exact number, but having a job, a stable job, a source of income is absolutely correlated to lower likelihood of reoffending. Having the right wage is also correlated to the lower likelihood of reoffending. So essentially, if a person doesn't have a job, or their job doesn't pay them enough, they're only able to pick up a few hours here and there, they're actually more likely to reoffend. So when somebody comes out of jail, comes out of prison, or somebody comes out of the court, maybe they never had to do any incarceration, but they have a record now, their ability to get employment is so much lower because of their record, and yet they need employment so much more because that's what keeps everybody afloat, right? Even people without records, we all start to destabilize in our family units and in our communities when we don't have employment. And so it's a very human need, and a particularly a strong need of people with records.
Well, what's the biggest reason employers give for not wanting to hire a former offender? And what do you say to convince them otherwise?
One of the, there's been studies on this too. One of the number one reasons that's consistently given by employers is their fear of negligent hiring liability.
Yeah.
So they are concerned that if something goes wrong on the job, that somebody will sue them saying that you knew or you should have known that this person that you hired was dangerous. They're concerned that a customer or client is going to sue them for having hired what might be a dangerous employee, right? Well, these new certificates that have come out, these certificates of qualification for employment, they're really helpful. That's what you tell an employer, that I have a certificate of qualification for employment, and that means you're immune from negligent hiring liability. That means nobody can sue you because you should have known I'm dangerous. In fact, the court says I'm safe. The court has evaluated me, and they say that I'm not a threat to any individual or the public. That's why there's no laws that prevent you from hiring me, and you can't get sued for negligent hiring liability. That's the number one reason. Employers also talk about their concern with breaking any laws in hiring, which the CQE helps. They're concerned with the trustworthiness that comes up as a constant answer, and that can be handled either through the interview or also, again, through certificates of qualification for employment. It does show very strong evidence of rehabilitation. So those are three big reasons that I hear.
Are local prison systems doing anything to help prepare inmates for employment after they're released?
There are efforts, my understanding, through ODRC to help people even once they're released or while they're still incarcerated. So hopefully that's one opportunity. There's another certificate you can get while you're incarcerated to show that you're rehabilitated, and that's called the Certificate of Achievement and Employability. So that's a similar piece. And if people are released on community control, if they have a parole or probation officer, hopefully they can be resources too.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And let's talk with Philip in Spring Grove. Hi, Philip.
Hello.
Hello, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Oh, thank you. 42 years ago, I was a plant manager in New Jersey, and a young man came seeking a job, and he said he thought he should make me aware of one thing, which was that he had been in prison for some time. He had killed someone in a bar fight and had finally gotten out. So I asked him a simple question, and that was, how did he feel he would respond on a factory floor if somebody was pushing his buttons? And he said, I am determined not to fight ever again, and I have been sober for several years. So I hired him. And within a short period of time, it was clear that not only was he not trouble, he was a peacemaker. Where there were other people starting things on the factory floor, he was in there to calm them. And I was so pleased.
So it worked out very well then. You were pleased to make that hire.
Extremely. And I would hire someone under those circumstances again every day.
Philip, thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate that. Dan, what do you think of that? That's pretty impressive.
Well, you know, we see it every day. So it might have been new news to us when we started, because we did not start with the plan of just focusing on people that had, you know, maybe felonies. You know, we were just opening our doors to anybody in the inner city, and we quickly found out that through the social services that nobody would hire folks with a record. And we just said, bring it on. And, you know, we've reaped the same benefits as that gentleman just kind of outlined. You got some great people that really want to do great things if you give them an opportunity.
Yeah. Sasha, your organization just had a seminar for employers who are looking to hire. And how does an employer even start to look for information and programs on this issue?
Well, employers are certainly welcome to reach out to the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, and we're happy to do trainings for employers and workforce developers, HR people. Part of the work that we try to do at our office isn't just individual client assistance, but it's also that community education piece. I know that Deanna at the Office of Reentry has individual contacts with employers where they try to educate them on the benefits of hiring somebody with a record. Similarly, our office, a big project for us in the upcoming year would be to reach out to employers, to HR, to workforce developers, and to get some education in the community about their ability to hire qualified employees where there might be a record in their past.
Yeah, so there are plenty of resources for people who are looking into this.
I wish that there were more.
You wish there were more.
I wish there was always more. I guess there's never enough. I think there's a lot of employer fear. So we could always use more resources. But the Ohio Justice and Policy Center certainly has a lot of resources right now that people can use.
With all these hundreds of barriers, where do we need to head next? I guess it's just keep taking these barriers away one by one, the ones that we're changing, the ones that need to be changed.
I think the direction to head is to start seeing human beings as people that have context in their lives, to stop stigmatizing people as criminals or as offenders. And as a gentleman who called in gave an example of, when you talk to people as people and they give their lessons and the context of what happens in their lives, you're able to get really good employees. Legally, I would love to head in the direction of much fewer collateral consequences, fewer barriers in the laws, fewer liabilities for employers, and fewer records coming up. Right now, what can come up on a background check can be from very long ago. It could be records that you weren't convicted of. So we have people coming in and their background checks show many offenses that are making their record look much longer where they weren't even convicted of them. Those cases might have been dropped. So we're showing too many records, we're showing them for too long, and we're creating too many barriers, and we're forgetting that people are people.
And Dan, what's next for Beacon of Hope? Where are you headed with this?
You know, we're just getting this underway, but we hope to, by the fourth quarter, to kick this off. And it's, again, the objective is to get more companies engaged to opening their doors to hiring those that need a second chance and provide that how-to. The resources for them to do that. So we're in the process of getting that all pulled together and look forward to hearing more, you know, in the next few months.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Attorney Sasha Apatova, who manages the Second Chance Legal Clinics at the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, and Dan Meyer, who's CEO of Nehemiah Manufacturing and founder of the Beacon of Hope Alliance. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Leanne Brown's cookbook, Good and Cheap, Eat Well on $4 a Day, is a handy guide for preparing good, nutritious meals on a tight budget. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll learn about her approach to cooking and efforts to end hunger in our communities. We'll also discuss managing the local deer population. And in Focus on Technology, how the Cincinnati Zoo keeps its hippo tank clean. That's on Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.